Warning.
Warning.
Now for a word of caution.
It's time to step into the danger zone with your host, the danger himself, Chris Danker. Chris Danker.
Oops, I did it again. Welcome one and all back into the Danger Zone, episode number 6, featuring my conversation today with the man formerly known as WWE's Tyler Breeze, a.k.a. Breezus. My name is Chris. I'm the dude whose name is in the show. How are you? I've gotten to know Breeze a lot better over this last year or so. Such a good dude with a really good head on his shoulders. So I hope you enjoy our conversation today. As per the last couple episodes, I've been using this intro time, quote unquote, to, you know, kind of catch everybody up on shit that just goes on throughout the week. I mentioned in the last episode that I was going away for a couple days. Took a little mini little getaway to unplug, and that ruled. That was awesome. It was a fantastic little reset for the old mental. It just now started to get cold as fuck too, as soon as we got back. So the timing was pretty excellent on that. I saw Halloween Kills this week, which I thought was good. I saw some valid criticisms of it, on the internet, but when it comes to slasher, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but when it comes to, you know, slasher movies and Halloween shit, stuff like that, like I'm usually pretty forgiving of the campy shit. So I liked it. I thought it was cool. I watched it on Peacock, actually, which I kind of liked. I was a fan of that. Like, I like going to the movies sometimes, but I don't know, being able to watch a brand new movie that you've never seen before that just came out in the comfort of your own home, all the food you want, talking all the shit you want during the movie. I don't know, man. There obviously are some movies that I think you have to see in the movie theaters. But I liked watching this one. Let me give an example. When that new Batman comes out next year, did y'all see that trailer at the DC thing? Bro, Robert Pattinson's gonna kill it. Like, I know he got a lot of flack, but every little clip that I have seen so far, every little teaser they've released, bro, everything just looks insane. I'm bricked up about it over here on a Monday morning. All right, we can't be having that. Swig a cappuccino for the working man. What? I got two objectives tonight, Monday night, when this goes up, the day it goes up. Number one, I'm going to watch my boy Xavier Woods stamp his effing ticket to the King of the Ring finals. And if he doesn't, somebody's going to die. And number two, I'm actually doing a big stream tonight on my Twitch, which is twitch.tv/dankops, by the way. So stop on by for that. If you've never been in the streams before and you come by because I'm mentioning it here, tell me that in the chat when you come in. Type in the chat, be like, yo, here from the pod, baby, or whatever. I'd really be interested in knowing who comes from the podcast. I love knowing who comes from where in general, with whatever I'm doing, because if I'm on Twitch, somebody might have came from YouTube or from Twitter or from Instagram or from it's, you never really know who's coming from where. So I like to, you know, I like when people let me know. I appreciate that. We passed 100 subs, over 100 subs, 100 patrons over on the Patreon. I don't know why I said subs. Patreon.com/Chris Danker. That's me. And that's so sick. Thank you to everybody who has joined that so far. It honestly means a lot that y'all have been just supporting this endeavor the way that you have. If you're not following the socials, Danger Zone Pod on Twitter, Danger Zone Podcast on Instagram, Still waiting for that YouTube custom URL shit for the Clips channel. So that'll hopefully be coming soon. And of course, full video episodes and the Dark Match bonus episodes are on the Patreon. Just a quick one from me today. Next week's the birthday episode, so we might go a little longer in that intro. But for now, without further ado, I'm about to sit down with former WWE superstar Tyler Breeze, Matt Clement, Breezes, Breezy F Baby, whatever you want to call him, it's your choice. We talked about his reaction to being released, if he plans on wrestling again, what he's been doing in his off time, his downtime, etc., and a whole lot more. So it's a great conversation. I'm so glad my boy was able to join me for this one. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. It's time for Tyler Breeze to step into the danger zone. So anyway, I've got another awesome guest with me this week. It's a guy I've gotten to know a lot over this last year. Formerly known as WWE's Tyler Breeze. It's my boy, better known as Matt Clement, a.k.a. Breezes.
That's right.
What's going on, man?
What's happening? What's going on?
How are you?
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I've been keeping up with everything you've been doing. I saw that the podcast is in the charts. And not it even is, like in the charts, but it's at the top of the charts.
I mean, I wouldn't say the top of the charts. It's,
what's the highest it's been so far?
I think like nine
that's
or 10.
That's the top of the charts. top 10 is top of the charts, dude. But you've been, it's very cool. Thank you for having me on this because you've been having like a kind of a who's who of, you know, people being on this podcast. So
I mean,
being one of them. Thanks,
it's
man.
It's been my friends, obviously. And like I told this to Aubrey too. I just talked to Aubrey. I have like a short list of six or seven people that I was like, okay, if I launch this, this is going back a long time before I even sure. thought. I'm like, if I ever do a podcast, like this is my first group of people. Obviously, you were on it, but I'm such a bitch that like I didn't want to. I don't want to approach my quote unquote wrestling friends with like, hey, you want to be on my podcast? Like, I know that you get asked probably 72 times a day. Do you want? Hey, you want to be on my podcast? You want like?
But that's where it depends. You're in a different category. So, like, yes, a lot of people do a lot of things now because anybody can just fire up a podcast or whatever you want. But it takes a certain personality to be able to stream and make video content and host a podcast. Hosting things is hard. Like people don't fully understand it, but the fact that you can do it and in an entertaining way is a big feather in your cap, which makes it when you ask things like this of, "Hey, do you want to be part of it?" My answer is always yes, man. Whatever you want.
Stop! You need to stop putting me over.
This is what it's all about. This is your podcast, dude. This is where you do it,
bro. I'm really happy to have you here. I'm like very grateful that you took the time to do this. You just got back from Comic-Con. Okay, New York Comic Con, right?
Yes.
What was that like?
It was very cool. So I'd never been there before. Obviously, I've done some Comic Cons before, but never. I've never done like the bigger ones. So like San Diego and New York. Never done them. So it was kind of my first experience there. Which everybody was. I think everybody's kind of like ready to jump back into the world.
Sure.
So. It, like even we were there on Thursday. I was a quick in and out of there, which is essentially the first day. But people were very, very excited, and there was a ton of people there.
Yeah.
Even like for the appearance with myself and Creed, everybody was very excited and just like back in the thick of it. Which it's good to see. Like it's not just me who's like I want to do more of all of this stuff. I think everybody's ready. Everybody's ready, and like I wish I got to kind of stick around and check out everything that was there because like. That's one of the bigger ones. And even just having a quick glance, I was like, oh man, like I literally just want to walk around all day.
Do you have more appearances, bookings coming up after that? Like what's your schedule looking
like? Yes. So I'm taking a little bit break, right now from wrestling. Just obviously it was like 14 years that I wrestled straight. So this is the first time that I've kind of stopped and it feels good, man. My body is slowly healing up from just 14 years of abuse.
Yeah.
And, I kind of like having, I don't want to say my schedule is different, but it is not less busy. It is so full of Twitch streaming and like just creating content and teaching at Flatbacks and the odd appearance here and there that I'm not really overly booking myself on things. Mm. So I'm just doing kind of like some seminars at some schools and some meet and greets and stuff like that.
Right. You've been involved honestly in some pretty incredible stuff over the course of your career. I would say the jumping off point was probably the NXT stuff, of course. Oh, yeah. A lot of people would definitely consider you to be like one of the pillars of NXT, and I 100% agree. With that being said, can you get me Sean Spears' autograph?
So, you know what? I'm gonna let you. He's one of my best friends, so I'm gonna let that slide. But is it gonna be Ty Dillinger, or is it gonna be Sean Spears, the chairman, or even back to his ECW days, Gavin Spears? Which one do you want?
Can I, if I can request, I want to my best friend Chris Danger, love Gavin Ty Dillinger Spears.
That works. I can ask.
Can we get that?
I can ask that. That'll work. He'll charge me, but I'll pay for it. It'll be okay.
All right, I'm gonna stop being stupid. What would you say throughout all that time, all the 14 years, has changed the most about Matt? Like, we're day one NXT to the man sitting here right now. What would you say has changed the most?
Great question, by the way. Great question.
Oh, thank you.
A lot, man. So I don't know. You're probably like me in a lot of ways, where like, I remember when I was like 10, 12, and like my dad was like my age, and he was like a grown man. Mm. And I am now that age, and I do not feel like I don't feel like a grown man.
No, not at all. I feel the same way. Not even a little bit. Yeah.
Right.
It's weird. It's a weird feeling.
It's very, very odd.
Yeah.
But like, when I look at it, obviously, like I'm a 33-year-old man. I've lived a life where I've traveled the world and I've worked my ass off. And like,
yeah, dude.
11 of those 14 years have been with the biggest company in the world. So, mm-hmm. you know, the ups and downs of trying to make it and then actually making it and then wrestling on the road all over the place. Even one year, I think it was 2016, 2017, I wrestled the most matches in WWE, which I think was like 270, 280, somewhere in there.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's insane. Like, you don't notice it at the time, but all of a sudden like 5 years go by and you go, wow, like my life just kind of like flew. And then you're like, yeah, people even ask you like, what's the coolest thing you've done and stuff. I'm like, I don't know. I'd have to look back and like, try to think of some stuff. But
yeah.
The biggest thing I think would be like, It's got to be maturity, man. Like you have to mature, and yeah. There's, especially in like show business in general, like not just wrestling, but like acting or like the music business or whatever. You can't let your ego get in the way.
Yeah.
You can't, like, you can derail yourself so easily because you just get caught up in what it is. But if you take, I use my family. My sister is a very good, like a reality check for me sometimes where I'll be getting mad about something. Mm-hmm. And then I'll talk to her and it's like, you know, my worst day sometimes, or before anyway, was that I would sit in catering and get free food and get paid like $500 to be there. And that's like, that's a bad day. And meanwhile, I'm like sitting here like bitching about it. And meanwhile, she's working her ass off, you know, 8 hours a day at a job. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, I have done that before. And I remember that I did not want to do that. And I remember I wanted to be a wrestler and everything else. So like, you need that reality check to kind of bring you back down to earth.
Yeah.
Because like in the end, you might have a cool job and you might get to do some stuff, but you're no different than the average person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like everybody's just trying to make a good living so that they can, you know, make the people they care about happy. And I was lucky enough to where I made a very good living and I got to do what I've always wanted to do at the highest level. And now creating all these other opportunities to have a Twitch channel and a YouTube channel and do appearances here and there where people, you know, they're bringing me in to do an appearance. Like, what am I really going to complain about? You know what I mean? And so having that is a great reality check to mature you, because if you stay immature in, like I said, even in just show business in general, you're gonna be miserable. Like,
yeah.
Super miserable.
I think it's really important to have that perspective, and it's really great that you do have that perspective. That's huge, and that's a big advantage over a lot of people that come in and out of the business that you've come in and out of, you know what I mean?
Big time, big time.
You obviously keep yourself busy. Like you said, you run a wrestling school down in Florida with Sean Spears. Is that co-owned the two of you?
Yes. We are the only two trainers there. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, you know, the main selling point obviously is kind of like podcasting, man. Anybody can pop up a podcast, but not everybody is you. And same thing with us. Like anybody can pop up a wrestling school. There's tons of them out there.
Sure.
But the selling point is I was in WWE for 11 years and I still talk to the people there on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Spears is currently in AEW and we have had like students who they're with us, and all of a sudden they're on AEW Dark, and all of a sudden they're on NXT, and they're like, we are where you want to go if you're trying to make this a career, you know what I mean? And even better is that I'm the trainer and he's the trainer. That's it. So the way that we do things is the way that we train you. And like, we say it all the time. Safety is our number one thing, to where we're not going to, the first time you try stuff, it's going to be with us. So we're going to make sure that you're okay. Mm. And like, if you are at all unsafe, like, we are fixing that immediately. We are not moving forward. Like that, which some places will not do that. They just kind of go, you know, here you go, whatever.
All right, here's the net. Yeah.
And oh man, it just, it drives us nuts. But at the same time, it is what it is. You can't get mad about it. All we can do is just, here's our school. If you'd like to learn how to do it, come here. If you don't want to, you want to go somewhere else for cheaper or for, you know, closer. Mm. Cool. You know what I mean?
How did that conversation happen between you guys? Like, what was the story behind that? Just be like, hey, we're going to do a wrestling school. Like, what was the backstory there?
So I think, like, you know, obviously I was trained by Lance Storm, who, he knows his stuff, man. And he not only like wrestling wise, but he clued me in on a lot of things outside of wrestling, like being smart with your money and paying your taxes and getting into other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I immediately, like, as soon as I started wrestling, yes, I had to, you know, get to a point, obviously, where this was my career. But as soon as I did that, like, I started thinking, like, okay, obviously this isn't going to last forever. I think even at the time, like, there was a lot more firings than happened now. Like, even as soon as I got there, within 6 months, there was probably like two sets of firings. And I went, oh my God, like, what is happening here? This is like very fast. And so I think the average maybe was like 5 years. 5 years was a great career if you're in WWE.
Yeah.
And so I was immediately thinking, like, okay, what can I do with my money? What can I do to, like, not have to stay in wrestling? Because I also don't want to be a 60-year-old man taking bumps at the local, you know, independent show, because, God, like, you know, if you want to, fantastic.
Yeah.
But I'm just letting you know, I do not want
that. That's not everybody's dream. That's not everybody's dream.
No. And so right away, I started branching out and kind of trying to figure things out. And, like, I really wish, like, I wasn't a big, like, school guy. I just... It didn't interest me. I wanted to be a wrestler and that was it. And once I actually got there, then I went, okay, I need to have like a new interest. Like, wrestling is my interest and it's my passion, but why don't people care more about like their finances and their well-being? Mm. So then I started thinking, like, okay, what can I do? And I started watching stuff on YouTube and like just learning. And it was like, okay, real estate is big. I have no clue how to do it. I think you need $1 million to buy a house. And then I learned that you don't need that. And other people can do it. And I went, oh, okay. Real estate's an option. Stocks are an option. This is an option. That is an option.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, like, when I kind of got to a place where wrestling was doing very well for me and I was about to get called up, I believe, I was like, okay, I need to get my green card because obviously I'm from Canada. So I need to take care of that right off the bat. Like, I can't do anything unless I have that.
Sure.
So did that, started kind of branching out and just learning like as much as possible. And my goal became, so when you get called up, or it used to be this way, when you got called up, you would sign a new like main roster contract.
Mm-hmm.
And mine was 3 years. And at the end of that 3 years, I didn't want to have to sign another one. Like if I wanted to, I was going to sign it.
Right.
But if for whatever reason, I was not happy, I wasn't enjoying myself, I was hurt, I was beat up, whatever, I didn't want to have to sign it. And 3 years kind of came and went, and that contract came, and I went, I could sign this one, but I would be okay if I didn't. Mm. And then I decided, I was like, things are going great. I will sign it again. So I signed it again. But I was almost right at that option to where I was like, I could.
Yeah.
I'm almost there. You know what I mean? And luckily I got years on top of that, which just kind of made it even easier. So having those little goals, I think, really help.
Yeah.
And having a direction of like, I don't want to do this forever. I want to kind of branch out. So obviously bringing up back the longest way ever to get back to the question. I always liked training and kind of helping people, which even like as I was in NXT, there was a big group there that we would all kind of like help each other and learn. And like Bailey, Sasha, Charlotte, Becky, like all that group, like we would literally go, all right, what can we do now? Okay, cool. Oh man, I was watching this. Like we all kind of like trained each other kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I really liked that part of it to where I'd be watching out of the curtain and watching them do their match. And I'd go, oh yeah. Oh, that was exactly how we like that. Perfect.
Yeah.
And I noticed that like I kind of got that same feeling when I had a good match from watching their match as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing was schedule, obviously. When you're full-time on the road, you can't run a wrestling school by yourself. And I'm very particular in like what I believe in and how I was trained and everything else.
Sure.
And I didn't want to just go, you know, I'm going to go on the road, you take everybody's money and you teach them whatever. Like I want to be hands-on. And finally it got to the point where I think Spears had just left WWE. And between his schedule and my schedule, I went, you know what? I bet we could do it. Like, because I can cover certain days, you can cover certain days, and we can do it.
Yeah.
And we went, you know what? Let's just try it. And we popped up the school and like started our first class. Loved it. And then now that was, you know, I think two and a half years ago.
That's awesome.
And now we're just, we're full. We're about to start October. October's full. January's full. March is full. So it's crazy, man. And I love it. I love everything about it.
That's sick, man. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but I did have one day of wrestling training.
I think Creed told me that. I think he told me this.
It was more it was more like 3 weeks of training squeezed into one day is what it was.
Sure, sure.
That upcoming week, and yet Creed can attest to this, I woke up every morning yelling in pain.
Yes.
Yelling in pain.
Oh, yeah. Like
noises I didn't think were possible to come out of a human body were coming out of my body. Yes. You did that for 14 years straight.
Yeah. Yeah. So
are you okay?
Yes. So
I guess my question is, are you all right? How do you feel?
This is the crazy part. So this is why you have to be trained properly. Because like I have probably been trained damn near about as perfect as you can be trained by Lance. He taught me how to bump, he taught me how to hit the ropes, he taught me how to protect myself, he taught me how to like protect yourself against everybody and everything. If people try to hurt themselves, I can save them. If people try to hurt me, I can save myself. Like there's certain tricks that you need to know. And like, I was taught very, very well by him. So the fact that I've wrestled, you know, 14 years, almost damn near about as perfect as you can, like bump wise, everything else, I've got no surgeries. I do have a little bit of stuff like banged up here and there. I've had a couple concussions. I have one injury that sounds really bad, but it's really not that bad. I have a vertebrae in my back that's kind of broken in half.
That sounds pretty bad.
If I do certain things, it'll like slide forward and kind of press against all the nerves. And then like my leg stops working. And then I just have to like hang on a bench and pop it back in and we're good.
But okay.
It's not that bad. It's not that bad. And then I have a torn shoulder, but I think everybody has a torn shoulder. It's been torn for years at this point. So, but in reality, I've never been cut open. I've never done surgeries. I've done pretty well for myself in 14 years to where if you look at some dudes, man, like they got trouble walking around and they've had, you know, shoulder surgeries, knee surgeries, back surgeries, neck surgeries. I've been very, 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 very extremely lucky. And I attribute that all to my trainer and kind of, that's why that's why we train a certain way of like, you got to take care of yourself because you only have one body.
Yeah.
And once it gets beat up, like, what are you going to do?
That's it. Right.
You're not going to enjoy it. Even if you have $1 million in the bank, you are not going to enjoy your life if you're in pain.
I'm glad that you decided to take the time for yourself and not wrestle anymore. As like, I want to see you in the ring. I think it'd be really cool to like see you doing shit. But at the same time, knowing that you're taking the time for yourself is certainly more important.
Very important.
So this might sound like a weird question. Was it almost a relief when you found out that you were released? When you were like, was it kind of like after all these years, you can kind of finally just be like, okay, all right. Like, you know what I mean? It might sound like a weird question, but.
No. It's a great question. So I don't know if I'd call it a relief. I probably had the shortest conversation ever when people are getting fired, but like I literally saw like the 203 pop up on my phone and I went, all right, hey, and they went, hey, unfortunately we have some bad news. We got to release you. I said, okay. Do you have any questions? No. Okay. See ya. All right. Bye. And like that, my girlfriend was sitting on the couch and she was like, oh, what was that? And I said, yeah, I just got fired. She's like, oh my God, whatever. I said, no, it's good. Like, it's okay. Like it's okay. And so I wouldn't call it a relief, but it was more of like a, you know, at some point, everybody's going to get fired. You know what I mean? Like there's a very small 1% that maybe gets to leave when they want to.
Sure.
But aside from that, you're going to get that call someday. And that is exactly why I've been preparing for 10 years for that call to come. Cause I know it was going to come. You know what I mean? I was surprised it didn't happen earlier. I was very lucky it didn't happen earlier. So when it happened, I just went, okay, what can we do now? Like now we have options of what we can do. I don't have to do anything, but what can I do? And then I started like having fun with it to where it was like, okay, I can do this and this and this and this and this and this. Great. Awesome. Away we go. Next chapter. You know what I mean? Luckily, some people take it a little worse than I do where they get like,
sure, you know,
they either haven't prepared or they've only been there a short time or mm-hmm. they don't have other options. And that part sucks really bad. Mm. But luckily, I was very, very lucky. I was not in that.
Yeah, I think I might have been talking to you actually about some stuff about flatbacks around that time. And then you ended up getting released like in the middle of our conversations or something. And the next time I texted you, you were like, you were fine. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, man. Like, eh. And you're like, eh, yeah. whatever. What's that?
So even like Spears. So Spears was kind of like, he'd check on me and be like, hey man, you all right? And I'd be like, yeah, why? And he'd just be like, it's cool if you're not. And I said, yeah, I'm good. Like, I'm good, man. I'm like at the school and like all the students are kind of like, oh God, like, what do we say? And I was like, guys, it's fine. We are fine.
That's crazy.
But yeah.
Having you obviously on the show means the party puzzle is almost complete. I've talked to Woods. I've talked to Chugs. Breezy makes 3 out of 4. I told them this, and I'm going to tell you too that, you know, I ride for the party. I'd go to bat for all four of you guys just because I know you're all great people. What has your time with those dudes meant to you, and did you ever picture it becoming what it became?
Oh, God, no. So, and I think that's why it does become that, is because the stuff that you never, like, you could try really hard at something, and it might never work out, and you're just like, oh, man. And then other stuff you don't really think about at all. You're just kind of doing it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the magic of, like, why people gravitate towards it. So, like, in reality, I think, why did that start? There was something that popped up, and I might get it wrong, but something popped up where we needed that time slot on Up, Up, Down, Down.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went, all right, you know, why don't we just do this? And I think it was like me, Swiss, and Creed. And we went, we need somebody, like somebody else from NXT. And I went, I said, Cole's literally been like begging to like, he's like, oh man, like I would love to do anything. I would love to do anything.
Yeah.
And I went, let's use him. Like, he'd be great to have on this stuff. And everybody went, yeah, oh yeah, great, great, great. Mm. So we tried, like, we just started playing Uno and having fun. And all of a sudden, like, we're talking to like the people in Up, Up, Down, Down, and Craig is like, yeah, Uno's killing it, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, people are really liking it. And then all of a sudden, like on Twitter and Instagram, social media, like people are just quoting all the stuff that we're saying.
Yeah.
And we went, oh, this is actually working like pretty good. And we would just laugh because we would record on Sunday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Swiss at the time was not a night person.
Mm.
He was like, he's in bed by like 9 o'clock.
Mm,
so like
wow.
we're recording at like 9 or 10.
Yeah.
And he's like at that, the delirious level and whatever.
Like grumpy.
Yeah. And sometimes like if the game's going long, which some of them were,
sure.
like we'd finish up at like midnight or one and we would go to bed and then that episode would air on Wednesday and we would go to bed and we'd wake up and it's like that day never happened. So like somebody would quote us back what we said from that game. And I'd go, oh, like, what was that? And like, you said that on Wednesday. And I'd go, oh my God. Like we just spout out this stuff because we're having fun and people have fun with it too, which is again, why it kind of gravitated and turned into what it turned into, which in reality, it was four dudes who just enjoyed having fun and playing Uno. And then all of a sudden it got to the point where the company who makes Uno made our own Uno deck for
That's
us.
That's awesome. I bought like, one, by the way. I got one up there.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. Like, if there's a pinnacle of like what you're trying to get to by starting Uno, that's about it.
That's probably it. Getting your own deck. Yeah, I'd say that's probably it.
And so, like, the fact that we had fun, the fact that everybody else enjoyed it, and really the bond with those three dudes, like, obviously, me and Creed, we've had a huge bond for, you know, since I met him. He was one of my first matches ever in FCW, and we were, you know, friends since then, roommates, and just, you know, we're brothers.
Yeah.
Swiss, I've actually been very close with for a long time as well. But we definitely grew closer, you know, filming this stuff every week.
Mm-hmm.
And Cole was one of those guys where we were always cool, but, you know, we never really did anything together until that. And as soon as we did, we went, oh, man. And now, like, you know, we stream together and we do whatever. And that group is such a, like, well-oiled unit that you could toss us on anything. You could go, you know what, hey, guys, we're having all four of you interview somebody. Or someone's going to interview you guys. Or you're going to play this game. Or you're going to do this video. Or you're going to do this movie. And we go, cool, yeah, whatever you need. Mm-hmm.
Like, are you gonna play Valorant? Or?
Well, we will, just not very well. Not very well.
We showed up. That's all that matters.
You know what I mean? So having that connection, which you know, obviously you have connections like that with people. it's hard to find.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to find that just click and have chemistry. And when you do, man, it's awesome. Like, you just, it's so cool. Like I said, anything, any day, anytime, if those guys were like, hey, you want to do this? We need you to do this. Yeah, don't even ask. Like, I'm there. What? Tell me what to do.
Yeah. I imagine with the schedule, the travel, the general uncertainties of the business, just making friendships of that magnitude is like, that's got to be super rare. Like, I can't even imagine, everybody, it's about the money and the miles, right? It's not about the friends that you make in the business and all that. Who are some of the other friends that you've been able to make? Obviously, everybody knows about the connections you have with Departee members, but, you know, who else that you've met through wrestling has kind of had a special connection with you?
So I'm kind of one of those guys, man, that like, I get along with almost everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a very, very short list of people that I don't get along with.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not even be like that I don't get along with them. They're just not one of my tight friends. But I would say like, I'm also like a big believer in, if you find somebody who is that you care about, and whether that's in anything, like if obviously if I'm doing real estate stuff, I have a team that I can't do it without them. And I treat every one of them like I respect the hell out of them and I make sure that they're taken care of. Sure. And I'm kind of that same way with my inner circle of like, man, if we're tight, like I'm checking on you. I'm not forgetting your birthdays. Like we are, we're close.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys that I've kind of gotten that with, which like I said, probably the first real guy that I met down in FCW, was Woods. I never met him before, but I knew that he like wrestled in TNA. So he was like a name guy to me.
Yeah.
So he was, I think my first match there, it was like a triple threat with like him and Rollins.
And, oh, wow.
And I kind of was like, hey man, like, how are you? Whatever. And we had that like little thing. And then all of a sudden we were cool. We were cool from then on. And, so we've always been super tight. Spears actually, when he got hired, he got rehired back into FCW. Mm-hmm. And there was one night, I think we were taking the ring down and I said something to him or he said something to me and we kind of like just started talking and we were cool ever since. Mm-hmm. And since then, like we started businesses together. We've done everything. He's just kind of one of those guys.
Yeah.
Brody, whatever you want to call him. Another dude that like, I wrestled him all over the world, man. And that was just like kind of the cherry on top where me and him were both into hockey. We were both into the same things. He was hilarious. And we would just, we would literally just give each other shit all the time. And like it, almost every single time I would walk into a locker room and he's sitting there and he just go, I used to be Mike Dalton. And so he would just go, Daltz. And I'd go, ah, Harps, what, man? And he'd just start on me immediately. and it was just kind of one of those, like one of those relationships. But if he was not at a show, I was like, ah, man, I wish Harps was here. You know what I mean? So me and him were very, 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 very close. And so he's definitely in there. And like I said, man, there's a lot of guys, man, like Big E, me and Big E are very close. And it actually even grew closer, during all the stuff with Harps and everything else. Just kind of really made you take a look at who's in your life and go, you know what, man, like I miss you, dude. I wish I was seeing you all the time and everything else. And like, he's definitely in there. Kofi, same thing. I'm friends with Kofi. I've known Kofi forever.
Yeah.
Tyson Kidd. I've known him forever. I feel bad. I don't want to leave anybody out. I'm kind of lucky that way where there is a lot of like, dudes, man, who are very close with me. I definitely miss, being on the road and seeing them. That's the part that I miss. Is seeing the certain guys in the locker room that you've traveled the world with and like just have a blast with. But in the end, it's great because I have their phone numbers and I talk to them and, Bailey, Sasha, all them, Scott Dawson or Dax, I think he is now in AEW. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of dudes, man. A lot of dudes who like Cole, obviously Swiss, obviously. A lot of dudes.
That's awesome. That's a very fortunate situation because, like I said, friendships can be rare in that business for sure.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years, it's been really crazy to see like the amount of wrestlers who have started either like YouTube channels or Twitch channels. It's been absolutely insane. So it's such a great way to like strengthen that connection with your core audience. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? WWE obviously discouraged the use of Twitch for the superstars on the roster for the most part. Intellectual property ownership, etc. You know, whatever the case may be. Do you think it's more of a situation where they really didn't understand what it was and what it can be for their talent? And do you ever see them changing their policy about it ever?
So this is this type of stuff is crazy to me because everybody thinks they know.
Sure.
But they don't know.
Absolutely.
And then like sometimes you even tell them and they still won't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
But I've said it, I said it before and I'll say it again. Like it is a classic case of the boys will ruin it for the boys.
Mm.
It's if you give somebody an inch, they will take a mile every single time. And it's happened, you know, forever. That's why that saying exists.
Yeah.
But basically what happened was, everybody kind of like, you know, so up, up, down, down comes around.
Sure.
And Creed is you know working his ass off and trying to build this into what it is now, which he has done successfully.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I was a part of like a lot of that.
Very big part of that. Yeah, absolutely.
Because any time that I was like, "Hey man, do you need me to like do anything? Can I be on it? Get it?" And he was like, "Yep, cool, cool, cool." So like as much he did, I'm not taking any of the credit for carrying the stuff around and filming and editing it because he did all that for the first little bit.
Yeah.
And all I did was show up and have fun with him. So. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to do something that like I see what you're doing and how can I help become like a bigger, I'm not a huge star in WWE, you know what I mean? So like, how can I help the channel?
Mm.
You know what I mean? And so one of the ways was you could stream on Twitch. So I went, okay, cool. Like, I don't know how to do this, but I will learn. So I started, I think just off of like a PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like the PlayStation camera and you can just do it with no template, no nothing. And honestly, I streamed for like maybe 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Before anybody even noticed what Twitch was or streaming.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like people, when you do something, people notice it and they go, mm-hmm. "Hey man, so you're doing this thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you making any money at it? Yeah. There's some money there. Okay, cool. I'm going to do it too because there's money there." Which unfortunately, like when people just do stuff for the money, then like you probably won't make the money because the content isn't good. Cause you're just popping on there to do something for a quick buck because you know, other people will.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened where like one person did, then two and three and four and five and six. And now everybody's on there, but people aren't doing it properly. Like you have to, like you said, you have to understand intellectual property.
Mm.
There's one sheet on that entire contract that says what you own and what they own.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot use their stuff. They will get mad at it. And I think I started a YouTube channel and it was called Shooting the Breeze, which obviously, I think I said Shooting the Breeze with Tyler Breeze. And within a week, they were like, "Hey man, you can't use Tyler Breeze." And I went, "Okay, cool. Like, what can I do?" And they went, "Oh, we can move you to like the WWE YouTube channel, and like it's like a portion of there." And I went, "Oh yeah, let's do that then."
Because
like obviously there's more eyes on it and whatever, but in the end, you can't use what they own.
Yeah.
And I think people just weren't, you know, they weren't being smart with certain things, and they were, you know, branching out to because obviously we have a following, we have an advantage over the average Joe trying to do things.
Sure.
You can get sponsorship deals, you can get people to endorse you, and you just can't do that with WWE's property.
Mm.
And some people were doing that and they flew under the radar for a while, but then it became too big to where people were making like big deals out of like sponsorship stuff and third party stuff. And then when it climbs the ladder to like there's a certain amount being made or there's certain people abusing that privilege, then they go, "Hold on a sec, what's happening?"
Yeah.
And then people go, "Yeah, this. And instead of going, "Hey, come here, you can't do that." And also, "Hey, you come here, you can't do that." And you know, you have a roster of 100 people or whatever it is. Instead, you get an email and it says, "Guys, I know what you're doing. Stop doing it. Stop doing what you're doing because you're not allowed to do it. And I'm not going to talk to all of you because I don't have time."
Damn.
And you know what I mean? And yes, it sucks. But at the same time, like, as a business owner, can you really blame them? Like you've built these superstars and they're going off on their own with stuff that isn't theirs. Like it's just that simple.
Yeah.
But now, unfortunately, now we've created kind of a little hole that we have to dig ourselves out of to be able to now convince, hey, having a presence online can actually bring in more viewers to the product and everything else. And, you know, unfortunately, you're starting behind the eight ball when you've already kind of ruined it. So it's I think eventually that conversation will happen and other conversations will happen where this is like, hey, it's a digital world. This is where it's moving. We need to have this to happen. And then they'll figure out how to do it. But I think it'll just be a certain way as opposed to the Wild West and going, all right, everybody, go ahead.
You know, good Tyler luck.
Breeze is out here doing his thing and whatever. No, he's not, because you can't use that.
I hope there comes a time where you know, they're given that freedom again, because there's just so many cool opportunities out there. And, like you know very well, if done right, it can be just a really great avenue to explore. Yes. Not to mention just kind of having these platforms too, as you also know, is a good way to kind of decompress from everything.
Big time.
Shit can get kind of crazy 10, 14 years in the business, I would imagine. One of the things I try to touch on with all my guests is mental health. Mm-hmm. If you're comfortable sharing, have you dealt with any sort of, you know, internal struggles like that in your own life, whether related to whatever was going on with wrestling or, you know, something that you had dealt with otherwise?
Oh, big time, dude. I think so. The thing is, I don't think anybody can really like understand life in general, or I don't think they can get it unless they've been through some shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's my firm belief, is that unless you've been through something or you've been through some things, you don't fully get it yet. I could explain it to you, but you will not understand it.
Mm.
And the thing is like, everybody will go through something, you know what I mean? Like it's okay to, which it's kind of the norm now, you know, everybody is too, anxious or they have anxiety to take that first step and do something.
Yeah.
I think people need to understand the difference between like being nervous. It's okay to be nervous. Like I'm nervous anytime I try to do something, like walking out somewhere and your heart's beating like crazy. You got to harness that. You know what I mean? If you can harness that and go, it's okay to be nervous. You don't have to curl up in a ball and, you know, be afraid of this stuff. There's good stuff out there if you can push through it and do whatever you got to do to push through that and recognize the difference between, you know, something, being nervous for something good or I'm going to hold off and limit myself from what I can do because of this stuff is crippling me. And I just think that you have to kind of, to see people and to understand people and situations, you have to go through some stuff. And obviously I think I signed with WWE when I was 22, 23. So I was a kid, man,
which
I'm not saying I'm not a believer either of like, they're young, so like they don't know anything or they're dumb. They're not. People know what they're doing. So like at 22, 23, I knew some stuff, but I definitely did not know it all.
Still had a lot to learn. Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah.
And jumping into, you know, the spotlight and everything else, it's very easy to let your ego take over and, you know, oh man, everybody's talking about me and everybody's, you know, wanting my autograph and everybody wants a picture and whatever. You can get caught up in that. And then you can, like I said, you can kind of get caught up in, you know, how the whole business runs and, you know, where you think you should be and where you actually are and all that other stuff. You definitely have ups and downs to where you need someone to kind of check you a little bit, because you'll go miserable and you'll go angry and you think everybody owes you everything and you deserve this and that. When then you kind of accept like, oh yeah, no, I'm not owed anything.
Yeah.
I don't deserve anything. I'm just a dude who's in a great position to make all of my dreams come true. And you need to kind of have that ups and downs in that aspect. And also, you know, I say like, unfortunately, but also fortunately, because like I said, you kind of have to go through stuff to get to a certain place, being on the road for, you know, like I said, that 1 year was 280 days or whatever. It takes a toll on relationships. And if you're married, which I was, you know, obviously I ended up getting divorced because you're away from people and it's perfectly fine to be, you know, you don't understand it at the time, but then afterwards you go, ah, yes, I'm not there 3/4 of the year.
Yeah.
Someone will get lonely. Like, it's okay to be sad and lonely because I'm not there. And if they don't want to do that anymore, and if I don't want to do that anymore, and it's okay to kind of end it and move on.
Right.
Which, you know, obviously not easy at the time, but as you go through it, it's a learning thing and you grow as a person and you see other people's perspectives on things instead of just your own kind of selfish perspective.
Absolutely.
And once you got to get on that other side, man, and like, I did not do it myself. I had good friends that I talked to, and I went to a therapist that I talked to of like, I think I started out my very first thing, which my friend told me to go and talk to somebody because it helps. And I said, I don't need to talk to anybody. I don't need to talk to anybody. And I finally went, you know what? I will. And I walked in there and sat down, and the lady looked at me and I went, she goes, so like, why are you here kind of thing? And I went, let me tell you about the last 5 years of my life. And I just kind of like, build everything out and like, oh my God, what a feeling. Like, after I did that, I tried to explain it and it was like, imagine feeling really empty, but in like a great way. Like you have nothing you're holding on to. There's nothing that you're like worried about. All of a sudden you're just there and like alive and like,
yeah,
man, this is great.
Yeah.
And like anybody else who I could almost identify people of like, man, you need to go talk to somebody. Oh man, you should go talk to somebody. Oh man, you should talk about this stuff. And they will on their own schedule, but eventually you see like, oh man, I went and talked to somebody. I feel so much better.
Yeah.
I went and talked to somebody. I feel so much better. Like not often do you see someone that went like, yeah, I went and talked to somebody and I feel horrible.
No.
Like it just doesn't happen because you need to get it out of you somehow, whether it's singing, whether it's writing it down, whether it's talking, like you got to get stuff out of you. Otherwise it's just going to overflow and you're going to be miserable, man.
Absolutely.
And that was a big thing for me that when I got on the other side of that, I literally went, oh, what a difference. This is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then you, like I said, you kind of open up in a different way. And I don't think that's possible until you go through some stuff.
Yeah. Hearing somebody like you say that too, I think is going to be big for a lot of people because dudes have, you know, such a problem talking about our mental health and shit and then no therapy or whatever. But, you know, it is very helpful. It can be very beneficial. And there's no, like, whatever this stigma around it that like, oh, if you go to therapy, you're a bitch and like, or you're crazy. Yeah. It's like, no, it's not. That's literally not it. Just sometimes it is such a relief. And like you said, you just kind of have this release of not holding on to that shit anymore. And it's a really good feeling. And it's awesome, you know, to have dudes be like, hey, it's okay.
Yeah. I mean? And I think too, like it helps you in other aspects too, where like all this stuff happened, you know, before everything happened with Harper and going through that, like, by far the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And like talking to the other people who were close to him and talking to Amanda and like everybody else, like Amanda was huge, by the way. She was the friend that, you know, talked to me and convinced me to go to therapy and stuff like that. Like,
oh wow.
She's awesome. She's awesome. She's so good. And strongest, so ridiculously strong going through all that stuff. But going through that stuff, like, I don't know if I could have handled it pre like going to therapy and getting all my stuff out. I don't know if I would have been okay with all that. And like, I still wasn't okay, obviously, but I could consider other people besides my own feelings and myself because I had been through that stuff.
Sure.
To where now it was, you know, Big E, like I said, me and him kind of grew really close through that to where like we talked about stuff and he's the exact same way where he goes like, it's okay to like, you know, tell your friends that you love them, man. And like, you want to see him and you miss him. And like, why does that not happen? Like, I wish I told Harps all the time, hey, love you, man. You know what I mean? Like, why didn't I? It's because he's, like you said, it's that, I don't know, dudes are just dudes.
Yeah.
But when you kind of, you know, it sucks on the other end sometimes, but if there's a positive thing, it's that, you know, he made a lot of people really better people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's, like I said, I just don't think, I don't know if I would have been able to handle it the way I did if I didn't do all the other stuff before.
That's a great message for people to hear, honestly. I mentioned earlier, you know, switching gears a little bit, you've done a lot of really awesome shit. You can, in my opinion, you can wrestle your ass off. Everybody knows how good you are at it. Do you feel like you said, at this point in your life, you could continue on these other projects? You're going to continue on these other projects. Twitch is obviously going to keep blowing up. Mm-hmm. All these other things you're doing, I know you're going to be successful at them. Do you think that you've finished your pro wrestling story? Let me say that differently. If your pro wrestling story ended now, are you satisfied with where it ended and how it ended?
So I think so. I think like when I look back, if I look back of what I've actually done, and not even just, you know, just myself, but the guys that I've gotten to wrestle and the things I've gotten to do and like all the matches that I've been able to have with these really great people. I think I can definitely hang my hat on that and go, look, man, like I don't need to sit here and tell you that I'm good or you should come get trained by me or that like I was in a certain category, whatever. Just watch the stuff that I've done and decide for yourself. Like if you're entertained by the stuff I do, fantastic. My job is complete. If you watch it and you're like, man, that was like, I wish there was more. I wish there was this. Cool, man. Like, that's awesome. Like, it's okay. There's too much of a good thing. You know what I mean? So it's okay that you end up wanting more. I like that feeling. But overall, like my career, I've been very been very, very lucky on how it turned out. I've been very lucky on the matches I've been able to have. I've had an absolute blast wrestling around the world. If there is still more in me, will be another question, which I think so, like, you know, especially the pandemic era, if we're calling it that, wrestling in front of nobody kind of soured me a little bit on some things. Like,
I would imagine.
I remember I was literally mid match with like Tony Nese, and we're having a match that like, I'm enjoying it.
Mm.
And I just like, I think we're both laying there or something. And I turned to him and I went, man, like, I feel if a crowd was here, they'd be into this.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's no crowd here, really, I feel ripped off.
Yeah.
Like, I need it. This is why we do this, is so the people are entertained.
I agree.
And it kind of soured me, and I got to like, crowds kind of slowly started coming in.
Mm.
And I got a little bit of that, but definitely like, what kind of sparked it again was watching Cole debut on AEW.
Mm.
When he came out, dude, hearing people go nuts and watching people go crazy and everything else, I went, oh, that's why we do this.
Like, I told him the same thing when I was talking to him. I was like, I lost my mind when you came out, because I didn't know. Everybody kind of heard about like maybe Bryan Danielson's going to show up, whatever, but no one really heard about what was going on with Chugs. And all of a sudden his name pops up on the screen and I lost my mind, man.
So luckily, being a member of Da Party, I was a privileged person who did that.
I know.
That.
He told me you got the scoops.
Yeah. And when he told us, I literally went, ooh, now I have to turn it on and watch it. Because like, not only do I want to support my friend, but the people are going to lose their mind. And I love it. Like, even to this day, there's certain like debuts or there's certain moments. There's a match, I want to say it's like Backlash, I don't know, 97, 98. And it's like Triple H against The Rock. And I think like Vince comes out, Shane comes out, Patterson and Briscoe come out, and they're all just beating the hell out of The Rock.
Yeah.
And people are chanting for Austin.
Yeah.
And the glass breaks and everybody shoots to their feet. If I watch it at any given moment, at any given time, I'll get goosebumps.
Yeah.
Same thing for like the Y2J debut. When he jumped over from WCW in Europe to The Rock, any day, any time, if I turn it on, I get goosebumps.
Yeah.
And when Cole said he was going over there, I literally went, ooh, that's going to be a goosebump moment, dude.
That's so sick.
His music hit. He came out. I watched the looks on people's faces. I heard the noise and I got goosebumps. And I went, oh, that's, yeah, I don't know if I'm fully done yet. and that's just because like, oh man, that feeling is so good, dude.
That's wrestling. Love that. I love that feeling so much of like, the unexpected happening, or the thing that you think, hey, that'd be really cool if, and then all of a sudden, like, hey, it's actually happening. Hey, CM Punk came back. Hey, they're like, all this shit that you kind of think, hey, wouldn't that be crazy if, is starting to happen now. So it's, I feel like we're at a really cool period in wrestling. So I'm glad that you didn't say, oh yeah, I'm done. I'm definitely done.
No, I think, and like, it's almost like I want to say I'm done. Like, oh yeah, I'm good.
Mm.
But seeing it, it does like spark me back up and go, oh man, I should probably start training, because I want to like, I love that, like having a crowd do what you want them to do at a certain time.
Mm.
There's no better feeling, dude. Like, you're literally just like going like, oh, they're enjoying what I'm doing.
Mm.
And like, I laugh all the time, because every single match I ever had, my dad would text me immediately. And he has like a certain criteria. So if you followed my career at all, he would always get really mad at the finishes, because he would always go, what the hell, dude? Like, when do you get to win? Like, when do you get to win? Why does this guy win? And I went, Dad, it is what it is. He goes, I know, you make a good living and you're happy. He's like, but you know, you should win one of them. I said, I know, Dad. But to counteract that, if I tossed in a Hurricanrana of all things, my dad would love it. He would literally go, hey, great match. Nice Hurricanrana. Hate the finish though. And I just go, okay, all right, as long as I toss in a Hurricanrana.
That's all you need to pop, Dad. That's all, just one to feel good.
Oh, it's the best.
It's so good that you're like at the point where you honestly, you just decide your own fate, really. Like, it's an awesome spot to be in. And I like, let me say this before I let you go, I would love to know, what are some of Matt's personal goals or objectives that he's working towards right now? You got an open canvas in front of you. So what are some of the goals you have with, you know, the freedom that's kind of at your fingertips right now?
So I guess like, this is interesting, because I haven't thought about this for a little bit.
Mm.
But goal wise, I think like obviously Flatbacks is doing very well. We have a ton of people coming in. I would love to watch a couple people from Flatbacks over the next, you know, 5-ish years, go on and get a chance to, you know, be hired by WWE or AEW and be on big pay-per-views and make a career for themselves. I would love to like watch that happen and go, man, that's awesome, dude. I'm very happy for you because you're a good dude and you've got that work ethic and you've got all that other stuff because otherwise you will not be here. And I'd love to watch somebody go on that journey. Mm. I think at the same time, so streaming on Twitch, obviously, we are growing very fast. Our community is awesome. Between, so like we're, you know, obviously, you know, Chugs streams as well. Mm-hmm. And the amount of times that I hear from like new people coming in, how cool like our community and Chugs's community are. And that like a lot of, and obviously, you know, but like if you watch a lot of like really busy streamers out there and their chat is insane. So like you can't even watch it.
Yeah.
But also like a lot of people have really bad chats, dude. Like they're really toxic and like they're bad.
They're definitely.
We have like a really good one and Chugs has a really good one. And I just like the fact that we're like building it. It's a place where people have come and they become like really good friends and they hang out outside of Twitch and they like are now like really good friends because of something that we're building is fantastic. So I think that is like, that's really, really cool to see. So obviously I want that to keep growing and kind of see where that goes. Like there's so much in that world that I don't know and that I don't know that's even possible.
Yeah.
But I want to become like big enough that there's more opportunities to go, guys, you are not going to believe this. We get to do this and it's because of you guys and we get to give back to you somehow and give you this new content and give you whatever. I don't know. Just I'm open to all of that stuff because it's so new and it's so exciting that like I just haven't been there yet.
Hell yeah.
I think somewhere down the line, I want like a production company of some kind.
Yeah.
Where like we have good dudes just assembled and they're just ready to do whatever.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like whether it's like, hey, we're going to do this, this content over here, or we're going to do this TV show, or we're going to start this own thing or do whatever. I think having like a production company with some of my closest friends would be really, really cool to even just push the limits there and see what's even possible, you know, getting into that next level of like, all right, we're content creators. We put out content and everything else. But now what's this like? This like it's almost like obviously on a different level, but like if you look at like The Rock, right? Like he started out at wrestling, became a massive star, jumped into movies, and then he was starring in movies.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he owns a production company. And now he's making the movies. Mm. And now he has everything. He literally just owns the world at this point. And like I like kind of seeing that level jumping to where you're going. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Not just being like, oh yeah, I'm at this level and like I make good money and everything's cool.
Yeah.
I want to see what the hell is
what's
out
next?
There.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like, and especially too with like how wrestling is taking off, who knows what pops up?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where if I can get my hands on like something like running some wrestling stuff or like, you know, starting some other show, doing it, I think that would be cool too. Like just being in other aspects that I haven't done yet,
yeah,
I think would be really, really fun.
Hell yeah.
And so I think like just kind of the goal, the main goal, I think, is to just kind of keep pushing forward and like testing out limits, finding out new things, learning.
Yeah.
Like learning about stuff that I have no clue about.
Right.
Finding somebody who has done it and they go, hey man, like this is going to be big or this is cool or you might like this. And then branching into it, you know, like, I don't know. It's just, there's so much you can do when you are not scared to do it. And I think just like, that's the area I want to be in.
Hell yeah. If you ever go down that production company route, you know, you got,
you're on the list.
You got my number.
You're on the list.
All I know is, wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. No, I'll be watching and I'll be,
it's coming.
I'll be watching and I will be, cheering you on because you're a great dude. You're an incredibly talented dude. And I can't wait to see where you go next, man. I really can't. So go ahead and get your plugs in though. Where can the people find you at?
Oh, so much stuff. I should have like a, like thing beside me. So Twitter and Instagram, gorgeous. That has not changed. 3 M's. If you're into wrestling, if you want to learn how to do it, check out www.flatbackswrestlingschool.com. We got all the info there. If you want to watch us on Twitch, www.twitch.tv/thesweets with a Z live. We are on there almost every day of the week. So check that out as well. We are also over on YouTube at The Sweets Live. So check that out as well. We got Patreon stuff that's all connected to the Twitch stuff. So you check out there. You got a bunch of stuff there. And yeah, that's about it. Any appearances and stuff popping up, I will post them on those Twitter and Instagram so you guys can see. If there's anything else, you guys really, you know, find out before me. And if I have anything cool, I will probably tell you on stream. So.
Yes, sir. That's awesome, dude. Again, thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate you. Nothing but love for you, dude. And I hope you take care of yourself. I can't wait to see what we do next.
Thank you very much.
I'll catch you next time. See you, bye.